Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm here with a very special guest today, Grace.
Hi.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Grace. Thank you so much for having me, Jenny.
Of course.
I'm so excited.
So Grace and I have been friends since when? End of 2022?
Yeah, 2022.
So, yeah, year and a half-ish. Yeah, we met through work, which we will get into later in the episode. But we both now live in New York City. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share?
I think you've said it all. Yeah, that's how we met. I think we're on our, two-year friendiversary coming in the fall,
yeah.
Which is exciting. Yeah. And, have stayed friends, which is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
Of course. Grace is also in, the theater, film industry as well.
Yes.
So we'll probably talk about that
Can't wait.
Usually when I have a guest, I like to do a little rosebud thorn moment, which is kind of like rose is something that's going well in your life right now, bud something you're learning or growing through, or maybe it's in the process of happening. And then a thorn is maybe something that's a little tougher, more of a challenge right now. You can do it in a different order if you want.
Love a rosebud thorn. When Yay. I was a, when I went to summer camp growing up, it was a thing we would do every night before bed. Every bunk did it. It was before bed, everyone went around and did their rosebud thorn.
Wait,
of the
that's
day.
So cute. I got it from my sorority at school. So
it's a part of it. It's great. Yeah. But I always like to start with the thorn because I like to sort of get the thing that's been bothering me out, and then go for the positive after that. I would say my thorn at the something that's just not been great is this weather. Heat has been so brutal where going outside is a disaster. It's just so bad. I absolutely hate it.
You drip sweat in 0.5 seconds.
Right? It's so bad. And you go and I love to do my makeup when I go out and stuff, and I feel I go out feeling great, and then I get to where I need to be and everything is gone and it's dripping down. It's horrible. So probably the weather has been really just affecting my mood and affecting how I feel. It's just gross, and it's muggy, which is horrible. But I'm hoping this rain that we've been getting on and off will bring better vibes.
Yeah.
Let's hope. But also I hate getting caught in the rain. So it's sort of
you can't win
right now. It's tough.
There's pockets of really nice weather here.
Yes.
End of April, May was gorgeous.
Yes.
And then probably I would say September to October is going to be really nice. But then it just gets cold and freezing.
And freezing. And then it's when you're cold, you want to be hot. When you're hot, you want to be cold.
Yeah.
It's just so tricky. But this heat, I can't do it. But it's okay. My rose at the moment is... hanging out with you. And also, I think I've just been, I've been taking a lot of time to see people and make plans with friends and hang out with, be social in that way, which I've been really enjoying and loving. And my bud is tomorrow I am going to my friend's pool.
Oh, fun.
Upstate, which I can't wait because it's going to prevent, I don't know if it's going to prevent, but it's going to make me feel a lot better.
Right.
It's
gonna
cool me
off. Cool you
off,
yes.
And I also just love a pool day.
Aww.
So I think.
That's so fun.
I know. I did my rosebud thorn of the weekend instead of of life. I can be more
that's
general,
fine.
But.
No, whatever you want to share.
Okay,
great.
Cool. That's what I'm sort of looking.
Looking forward to.
Exactly.
Should I do mine then?
Yes, please.
I haven't even thought about them yet. I would say thorn is mental health was a bit down the last couple weeks. Just anxiety has been high, kind of. As the summer's come, body image stuff coming up, which is never nice, but I'm grateful that I have more tools to handle moments like that and, reminding myself of certain things that I don't need to believe, even if, the thoughts are there. So that's been it really got to me a couple weeks ago. And then I got sick. I had some random COVID flu something. So whenever I'm physically ill, that just plummets my mental health too, because I'm oh, nothing's working out for me, I should just wallow in my sadness.
Yeah.
And but I pulled myself out, so that was a little bit of a thorn. But I'm having some upcoming projects with my job, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's exciting.
And I am working on a website with a friend. She's hosting this kind of art club in New York
That's
City.
So cool.
And I'm trying to build up some web design on the side and really hone my skills with that because I'm really enjoying that and UX design.
Yeah.
So she just reached out to me and was like, hey, I can't pay you anything, but do you want to work on this? And I was like, yes, I would love to.
Passion project.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are some of the best ways to kind of bring joy into your life, I think.
Yeah, no,
awesome.
For sure. And then Rose, probably similarly doing this with you, just, making time for creativity and giving myself space to just kind of be and live life and gain inspiration. I feel like, I don't know, I get caught up in scrolling and comparing and all of that, but I'm realizing that just eliminating that actually makes me feel more creative and, you know, gives me time to meet up with you and record podcasts and come up with ideas. And yeah, I'm just having fun with it. So
I love that. That's so good. I'm sorry that things, it's been a bit of a rough.
It's okay. Yeah.
It happens, you know, but it's temporary and it passes and you know that.
Yeah. You're so right.
You're so right. So true.
Yes. Do we want to talk more about how we met?
Yes. Next? Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes, let's do it. I'm excited.
Okay. Start.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, so are we disclosing where we met? Are we going to say the name of the company that we met at?
I think we should. I mean, people know that I've worked at Brandy Melville.
The people know. Well, now they know I too have worked at Brandy Melville.
Yes. That is where we met.
That's where we met. I was sent, Jenny and I both went to school in Boston and I graduated,
A year before you did.
And I was working at the Brandy in New York. No, in Connecticut at the time, actually. Because I was working at the one in Connecticut. And the manager that Jenny had at the time had just quit, right?
Yeah, because I started working at the Boston Brandy.
Yes, at the Boston one.
No, in October.
Yes.
Yeah, and so this was October 2022, and you're still in Connecticut?
I was in Connecticut, okay, but I had managed the Boston one while I was in college.
Right, and then prior to Jenny being there,
and then I graduated, and I moved to Connecticut, and I was working at the Connecticut location. So this was, I left the Boston one in August, and I was, like...
So we, like, just missed each other.
We just missed each other. And I got a call asking if I could go out there because the manager that sort of took over after I did in Boston had quit right before Black Friday, which is...
Yeah.
The irony is, in classic, Brandy Melville doesn't do sales on Black Friday, but it doesn't stop the people. They still want to be there. So they were like, it's going to be crazy, and they don't have a manager. Like, could you go out there? We'll, like, put you in a hotel. Like, can you go be there? So I was like, sure. Why not? So I went. And then I wound up staying there for a month. They kind of kept me there because they were sort of like, can you like help and like train and like work with some of the girls there? I mean, we need a new manager. So would you be willing to like do that? And I was like, yeah. So you know, I had nothing else to do. So I went and it was actually really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was sort of kind of going back to Boston and like finding independence there in a way that wasn't connected to school. Like that was very interesting for me. I never been there really for a long period of time that wasn't related to going to school. But then we met and you know, it's scary taking on a role where you sort of have to like show up somewhere and sort of be like, you guys don't know who I am. Like I'm sort of in charge, but also like I'm like a 21-year-old, like it's like confusing.
That's how it is.
I met Jenny and we just really hit it off and you were just so nice and positive and like it's just really nice. It was a really refreshing thing to have because I was sort of nervous about going and sort of like training and being like a person of authority because some people can be really negative or like we'll take that
push against it or we'll take
the energy as like something that might like I don't know, flare up their insecurities and might make you feel bad. So I just was like, and Jenny was just so kind and like easy and patient. And I just was like, you're awesome. And I have such a memory of me being there and me like teaching you how to open. I don't know if you remember this. And you were like sitting outside the steps in the morning.
I think so.
It's okay if you don't remember I came with a coffee.
Okay.
Remember? Because I recommended that cafe to you.
Oh, yeah. The bittersweet
shop or something. We're not sponsored by them. But they're really amazing. And they have incredible coffee and sandwiches. Really good.
And cookies, too. I tried one of their cookies.
Great cookies.
Yep.
So we worked together for a bit and it was so wonderful. And then after December. I left like right before Christmas time. And so I came home and then I went back out to do like an inventory count back in like in February, I think a little bit after that. But
or January, right?
Was it? Yeah. It was
because then I got the call.
Right. Then Jenny after got the that, call.
I got the call.
We went up there and the manager that I was sort of with that I went with, who kind of is oversees like the stores and who should be sort of the leader or manager. And she was like, you've worked with Jenny, like, is she great? And I was like, oh, she's awesome. I was like, she's so great. Like, she's really fun and she has great energy and she just rocks. And I just talked very positively about you. And, you know, she knew that from your work ethic. And we both were like, she'd be a really good person to do this. Something that I've loved so much about our relationship is we've had such like honest, candid conversations about like taking on that role because I felt worried for you because I was like, you're a student, and I did the manager part when I was a student, and it was a, like, it was really hard because it's a lot of responsibility, and you're in school and you're doing classes, and like, you have to find some way to manage it, which is like,
looking back, I don't even know how, but all I can say just is having your friendship, like, was so amazing. I don't know, my gosh. To have you, even just to call and rant about certain things.
Yeah.
Because, so I guess to finish the story of context. So then after this inventory count, I got a call from the like higher up manager, and she was like, well, we'd love to offer you the position to take over as store manager at Boston. Yeah. And yeah, as Grace was saying, like, I was a student and, you know, at the same time, was really excited to get this opportunity, but definitely didn't know what it really all took. Yeah. I don't know. I think being so young as well, and I know there are managers who are even younger though, but I was 21.
Yeah. Yeah. You were like right in the same position that I was in when I first did the management there.
I was 21 and just like managing people who are not even that much younger than myself. The weirdest part I think was managing like the relationships of like, I had made friends who I worked with, and then suddenly a day later, like, everything changes and you're the manager. You're supposed to tell them what to do. So it's like, I definitely lost some friendships and, you know, it shifts dynamics in the store. But having you was amazing. Just to have someone to be like, yeah, I get it. I get it. That's valid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is what I did in my situation.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, I didn't, I mean, I certainly wasn't perfect either, but I think being able to like talk it through together was like, I was way better at managing when I came there for the job, because when I was a student, it was impossible. Like, yeah, I was doing...
I mean, it's like running around, like, with my head cut off. I don't even know, like, running from class to work to, you know, and, like, a group club meeting.
Right, and there's, like, a lot expected of you because you're the manager, but also you're like, I have to go to class, and I have to do these things, and I have to graduate, and it's a lot, and you feel sort of, like the people pleasers we are, you feel sort of stressed about making time and energy, and it's just a lot, so... I think having each other, like, talk through it and, like, learn from my experiences, sort of do your own thing, like, it was so helpful.
Yeah.
And then we found each other again because I moved to New York and I started working at the New York location.
Right.
And then Jenny moved to New York and started working at the New York location. And then we were back where we were, in New York.
Yep.
And then once again, I passed on the manager position in New York to Jenny.
I kind of like was always, you know, following in your
footsteps. She's following my footsteps of our company, of Brandy Melville USA.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so then we kind of found each other there.
Yeah.
And I think where I am now in my career and in my life, like, I'm so grateful to have had you during that time together. Cause I'm like, we've kind of graduated from that chapter of our lives and our careers. And we've sort of moved on to bigger and brighter and more exciting things for ourselves right now. And I think having someone to bring like stability and to bring like a level-headedness of being like, this isn't, you know, this isn't like what we're going to be doing
forever.
Like there's something better out there for us that we want to do that, you know, we got our degrees in that we're excited about. And I think that was just so helpful because, you know, when you're working with a lot of young people are sort of like, yeah, I love working here. What's not to love? Like, it's great.
Right.
And you know, they've clothes and all kinds of fun things,
girly things.
And like the vibe is just so like, it's so fun and you're with all these girls and everyone's so great. And like,
and I think the connections like you make with the people, cause like, I don't know. I mean, at Brandy, like if you work a lot, like you work a lot,
you
like
work
you're
a lot,
there
all
8
the
hours, if not more a day, multiple days a week. And especially as managers, we were there,
all
you
the
know,
time.
50, 60 hours a week sometimes, but it's just cause that's what was needed. And that's what we signed up for. The staff is so wonderful. And the people you meet, the connections you make, I mean, like, I feel like any job is like that, but I don't know. It's just a good crowd of people at Boston and at Broadway.
It was, and I think it's funny because I think a lot of people sort of think that the reputation there is it's a bunch of like really mean people. And the I can't speak for every store. I haven't worked at every store, but the locations I worked at was such a like kind group of people that were just like there to work and do their job. And like that was awesome to have. And I think that's why I stuck around as long as I did, because I just really loved the community of people there. And like everyone just having a really positive attitude and just like the people that were respectful and nice, like that made it so worth it, which was like just really, really cool. I don't know. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it overall too.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals. Like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
But yeah, we've now, like you mentioned, both since left and kind of moved on to other jobs. So I'm curious, like, how did your time at Brandy managing both stores, like, how has that kind of helped you in your next career now?
I think that when I was at Brandy, I had a really hard time saying no to things because I wanted to be the best I could be and I wanted to show that I cared so much. And I think by doing that, I was saying yes to everything and I wasn't really thinking about what do I need for myself.
We're the same person.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, yes, of course I'll do it. Like, you know, if it will make you all happy, like you guys are in charge of me and seeing you guys happy means I'm doing a good job, so I'm going to do it. And I think that cost me a lot of time and a lot of anxiety. Like I was so anxious all the time about like, disappointing people. Like I was so like, I would just panic about disappointing people. And, you know, I think there's a difference between getting like reassurance that someone's not disappointed in you and people being like, just sort of expecting you to do something. And if you don't do it, then it just was like a lot of that. And I think I said yes to a lot of things without really thinking about what it was that I wanted.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me. And so I think, but also, I mean, you know, to be fully candid, retail is a bit like that. It's sort of like it's a job where, like, you know, you need to show up and you might have to stay late hours. If there's a customer there that's going to be there for a while, that is going to be there like 30 minutes after the store closes, like you can't leave. Like you have to stay. And I think I sort of just was accustomed to sort of just being like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, no problem. I'll stay. Yeah, that's fine. And like, it just really, it didn't create a good like mental well-being. I'm not wording this correctly. It didn't create a good state for me. I was stressed all the time. Yep. I was like not prioritizing actual things that were important to me. I was anxious. Yeah. Like I was not and I was not a good version of myself. I think the pressure that it put on me to do good all the time and to like be that, because you get offered this position and you're like, I must be doing something right. Like they must like love me. Like
it's
I'm
great to feel like you're doing a good job and like higher ups are noticing.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah. And I was just so nervous to disappoint anyone. And so I was so like, I'm disappointing people. Like I'm, you know, and, but then also on the flip side of that, I had that, but then I also had like my friends at school and people being like, do you want to come do this? And I felt like I couldn't, it was like, there was just so much going on. And I look back on that a lot and I regret that time that I took on so much because I was like, you really should have focused on college and your senior year and what makes you happy. Yeah. But I think I thought at the time that being in work and doing work made me happy and like the outcome would be fantastic and I would keep moving up. And, you know, I would see all these managers and they would get to travel around the world. And I was like, I want to travel around the world. Like I was so in that headspace.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was a really long answer. I apologize.
No,
I tend to ramble. So please stop me.
It's kind of a podcast.
Okay.
It's a place to ramble.
It's a place to ramble. But I think what it's taught me going into, well, A, now working for like an actual company that is sort of like, yeah, these are the hours that the office is open and closed.
Right.
And
you're forced to create those boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. And also just giving myself room to be like, which is something I never felt this at Brandy. And it's not, I mean, this is, again, it's a retail job. I never felt like Brandy, I never felt like I could leave Brandy at the end of the day and be like, I've done everything I needed to do today. Like the work is done.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? It was like, I was like, no, that back table looks awful and it's going to look awful and there's nothing I can do about it.
And you still think about it until you fall asleep.
Yes,
and then you think about it when you wake up
and then you
get back to the store.
You get to the store and it's messed up even more because there are people shopping. Right. And like, I feel like my brain was never turned off into like non-work mode or like do not disturb. Like I feel like I was always consistently being like, okay, well I didn't close tonight, but those girls did they lock up?
Right.
Did they do this? Did they send
the texts and the constant
notifications.
Like, oh my God.
Also, it was just this consistency of like getting messages all the time and like I just felt like when I would leave, I wouldn't really leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was really a lot for me. I was like, I'm not, like, even if I was, like, out to dinner with friends, like, I would be like, oh, one of the girls, sorry, one second. And, like, I didn't get to, like, turn my brain off.
Yeah.
And what I like a lot about that I've taken into this new job is sort of being like, you are going to deal with this during the office hours that you're in the office. And when you leave the office, you're not going to think about the office.
Yeah. And I'm proud of you. That's good.
Growth.
Yes.
I think that was is incredibly, you know, that made me feel really awesome that I could leave and not be like so caught up in it and just be like, I'm going to do the things I have to do right now. And then I'm not going to do it. Like yeah. that just felt so refreshing.
Yeah.
And well,
that's
good.
So great.
Yeah. yeah. Did you feel that way after leaving Brandy behind and starting your new job and everything?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely been a transition for sure. Just going from kind of constantly being on thinking about work to a part-time job working from home. Like yeah. it was kind of 180 switch. Yeah. And so I was so used to kind of always having that to think about and always kind of being stimulated in that sense. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I don't think it was the best thing for me. And kind of looking back, I was just kind of like running on anxiety and stress like the whole time, just wanting to do a good job and wanting to make sure everyone was, you know, thought of and taken care of at the store. Yeah. And like, yes, you know, I was the store manager, but I was still a human being and I needed my time and I needed yeah. to have hours to myself. But I think with both our situations, we were the only store manager. And so there was no one else for the staff to go yeah. to. So after that, just kind of not having that responsibility and, you know, having so many hours free in my day, I really struggled with it at first because I felt like I wasn't being productive and I wasn't doing enough. And I didn't even know kind of where to step first in creating this new career yeah. for myself. So I did kind of dive more into content creation, dive more into this part-time job, trying to find a balance. I feel like I'm still working on work-life balance, but I've definitely gotten so much better in just kind of thinking about it in the 9-to-5 structure. As yes. much as I kind of push back against corporate life structure, there is so many good parts to it because you can just turn on at 9-10 a.m.
yeah,
and then you switch off at 5-6 p.m. and then like that's your time to do your thing, see your friends, right. socialize and not think about work, because you know 8 hours is enough time, you know, like that's your time to work.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying to just remind myself of that, is that even if maybe I don't get through my whole to-do list, if I don't do everything, if I miss one email, it can be a tomorrow thing.
Yeah, it's
and
a
that's
tomorrow,
okay.
It's a tomorrow project.
And I think at the store, I really struggled to do that.
Yeah,
we didn't
have tomorrow projects.
No,
at the store.
It was just like, we need to do it now. Or if it doesn't get done, like someone's mad at you or someone's
yeah.
disappointed. And
yeah.
yeah, that's being a people pleaser. Like, that's a really hard thing to deal with. For
yeah.
sure.
Oh my gosh. And this fear yeah. of people being like angry at us.
Yeah.
Like, and being, and, yeah. and feeling so ashamed. Like,
yeah. And I think also, like, with retail, to what you were saying, just being transparent, like that is part of the job. You kind
yeah.
of just have to say yes and do what you need to do, because the store has to be open. It's not like you can kind of like pause
right.
during the day. Like it's
right.
just, and with the store so busy, like Brandy Melville, like,
oh my gosh,
you just
yeah.
have to be on all the time.
All the time.
Or, you know, it's either 100% or 0%, I feel
yeah.
like. So you kind of, if you're there, you're getting paid to be there, like you have to be at 100%. So, it, I don't know, wasn't the most healthy thing for finding a balance.
Definitely
for sure.
Not. Yeah.
But I also like had the mindset too of like, this is retail, like everyone's replaceable. Like as much as I felt so, you know, confident in my role and I was very happy to be there, like I kind of had to remind myself sometimes, like anyone can do this. Like,
oh yeah.
They could fire me. I can quit. Like literally it's just the store.
Yeah.
it's everyone's replaceable in
yeah.
retail. I mean, everyone's replaceable in any job, but you know, as you've probably found, like working more in corporate America and, you know, in more industry jobs, like people have skills and they learn things and they work to get these positions.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's kind of that sense of pride and that I've worked to be here and I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really, like I felt that a little bit with Brandy, like, okay, they noticed me as a good sales associate, so they asked me to be manager, but it's also like they can still just fire me and I can quit and like nothing, I don't know, you know what I mean?
I 100% know
yeah.
what I mean, 'cause I felt the same way. I was sort of like, anyone can do this, like anyone
yeah.
can do this job at the end of the day. Like
yeah.
that was definitely an interesting thing to realize, but also like to not feel bad about leaving, like to not
right.
be like, you know,
yeah.
I think I'm good at this and I care about it, but I'm not like that viable of an asset to this
right.
team. Like,
and I think the key part is that we both realized like when it wasn't serving us anymore. And
yeah.
we both kind of started prioritizing ourselves a little
yeah.
bit. Like I know I took those steps and it's scary for sure. 'Cause I feel like, I don't know, in my experience, like, that change and a change of routine and a change of what's become, like, my normal. Like, that's very anxiety-inducing, and yeah. you don't know what the next step is. Even just starting a new job, yes, you know what it is, but you don't know what it, you know, entails.
What it's actually going to be. Yeah. And I think the comfortability of, like, being a manager and, like, having that, and then sort of going into a new job with a whole new staff.
Right.
And you're sort of like, I don't, oh my gosh, like, you realize, I realize that I've been doing, working at Brandon Melville for a long time. And I was like, oh, what if I don't know what you know to do?
But I still face that today,
me
too.
Me too. Oh my gosh, all
like,
the time.
I'm just a girl.
I'm
like,
just a girl trying to survive out here. Like, it's hard. Being an adult is hard. But, you know, I think we took the steps we needed to. And I, like, and have continued to be there for each other in ways that don't even, like, that have, we've graduated from our Brandon Melville discussions and have had, like, actual human discussions about career and life and what to do. And I was so impressed by your ability to be like, I'm gonna remove myself from this now, like, this is not serving me anymore, and you getting an apartment for yourself here and you creating the space for yourself and do, like, I literally called you and was like, I want you to, like, talk through what that process was like for you, because I find myself wanting to be in that position, and you were so helpful in that way, and now we both have actually, like, adult jobs that's, like, exciting and scary still, you know, and we live in New York and we're doing our thing. And I think that I'm grateful that we met through that experience, because I think it brought us to, like, a human connection that was so much more than just being like, oh, we work at a clothing store. It was like, we work at a clothing store and we're, like, surviving here together. And, like, what does this look like? How do we share the knowledge that we have gained, like, through working here and through just our own personal life experiences? How do we, like, give that to each other and receive that from each other in a way where we're able to go into, like, adult life together?
No, I'm so grateful for you. And, like, off of that, I think, as we've established with both people pleasers, we kind of have struggled with wanting to kind of be approved by higher ups. And just through that kind of mindset, I think it's probably been, speaking from that perspective, it's been difficult to, like, leave certain situations. And, like, leaving Brandy, like, I recognized I needed a change and it wasn't serving me, but that took me, like, over a month to like actually do it. And so I think, just for anyone listening, like, if they're in a situation that you feel like you kind of have to stay, or you feel like you're pleasing some sort of boss, or maybe a parent, or maybe a friend, or pleasing anyone, but you, like, notice in your heart that it's not right, that's something, like, don't ignore that. Like, no, and I think that was my biggest thing, is I tried to push it down for so long. This is not speaking ill of the job at all. Like, I still enjoyed it, like we said, and loved the people, but it's just, you know, with anything in life, whether it's a retail job or even a corporate job, some people realize, like, it's just not serving them anymore, but it takes so long for them to actually take the steps, because they're fearful of what their boss is going to say, or fearful that people will be disappointed. And and that was the hardest part. Like, my boss did say she was disappointed in me, and I, that, like, rocked me for days, because I was like, oh my god,
I did the thing. They literally said to me, I'm disappointed in you. Like, that's the and that's the worst thing to hear from someone that you have worked so hard to impress and show how devoted you are, and have them be like, I'm disappointed in you is a terrible thing to hear.
It really is. But it kind of is just like, you're going to hear those things sometimes, and you just got to move on. And at the end of the day, it's your mind then your body that you're living with. So if you're not happy and feeling balanced in that, like, it, nothing's worth it.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just want to say that.
No, I'm glad you did, because it's, it's so true.
It really is. Kind of going off of that, like, are there any certain routines or practices or, like, things you like to do to kind of help yourself in moments where maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or feeling like you have to please maybe your new bosses, or I don't know, just kind of overall self-care? How do you prioritize yourself?
Oh my gosh, I feel like it's two it's like two boxes. It's like, there's the work and then there's the play, or rather, oh my god, it's PR.
Is it more PR?
It's more PR. I'm obsessed with Jenny's PR. I'm literally obsessed with it.
I'll go check the doorbell.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Okay, so I was saying I have two, so I think with work and play or social or non-work day-to-day stuff, it's like two boxes. For me with work, something I've really been trying to tell myself that I tend to second guess myself, where, like, if someone who's been with the company longer than me, and this was something I experienced a lot at Brandy, where, like, if I did something wrong, not wrong, but if I did something that, like, they're like, hey, just going forward, like, we're actually not going to do that, I would be like, oh my gosh, like, it's my fault. I would blame myself immediately. And I think something I've been doing in my new job is, like, really allowing self-confidence in myself and being, and reminding myself that's like, you were hired for a reason. Mm-hmm. You're good at what you're doing. Like, you're working hard. You're trying.
Yeah.
And that is the most important thing. Like, even, it's like the disappointment. I often will be like, nobody hates you. Like, nobody's ashamed of you. Nobody's disappointed in you. Like, you're mm-hmm. doing your best. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm very grateful though, because my boss and the team I work with is all people that are just really kind and are also just very like, look, at the end of the day, like, no one's, like, getting set on fire. Like, it's gonna be fine. Like, it's okay. Like, it's actually gonna be totally fine. That was a mentality I started to develop at Brandy, but I still felt stressed all the time I was there. Like, I was like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a store. It'll open tomorrow. People will buy stuff. Like,
no, you helped me, like, think more that way.
Did I?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I just remember you saying, like, it is just a store. Like, it's not your whole life. Because, you know, I don't know, I kind of got so intense sometimes.
Yes, and you get so caught up in it. So I think, but it would be hard, because at the same time I'd be like, it's not just a store, but like, I do want to make it look good and I do care. And I think in this new job, I'm sort of like, you've put in the hard work, you've put in your hours all day, you've done a good job. Like, mm-hmm. you know, giving myself confidence in myself and being like, you know.
That's so key.
Because it's like, where people have strengths in some things, they have weakness in other things and vice versa. And, you know, we're the same. And I think as long as you just like project kindness and that you're like working hard and you're doing the best you can, like, I think that's all you can do, is what I try to tell myself a lot of the time. And just like, also, if you make a mistake, like, I think working a job like the jobs we have now is so like, that's okay, there's an opportunity for you to do better, and you're gonna make mistakes. Like, people make mistakes in their jobs all the time. Like, it's gonna be fine. I think that's something that I've been really trying to like remind myself of, is I'm like, people make mistakes all the time. Like, people do things all the time, and that's okay. And like, you
we're
know,
human.
You're like, not burning down the building you work in. Like, it's small. It's like a small thing that you can fix, and that will be okay. And then in my day to day, what I do, what I practice, because I struggle with anxiety a lot. I'm a very, very anxious person. I think just allowing space for yourself to embrace what you're feeling, and also like, mm-hmm. what can you do to make yourself feel better? Mm-hmm. And sort of celebrate that within yourself, whether it's seeing a friend, whether it's taking yourself out to dinner, whether it's, you know, it's finding the things, which you preach so much, which I love, but it's just about finding the things that are like, how can I, you know, you can't stop, you know, you can't stop a feeling, but the feeling will eventually pass. And I think it's, what do you sort of do to like pass the time to allow that to kind of flow through yourself
and make it most like manageable to live through.
Because sometimes it feels unbearable. Like, you can't live through it and it's awful. Right. But I think just like practicing that with yourself, you know, even if it's like getting on a phone call and like talking to someone that you love. Honestly, and just being like, I think being unafraid to ask for validation and from the people that you love is a really healthy thing, actually. Because I think just really being like, hey, I'm feeling really anxious today. Like, I just want to like just talk to someone about, like, my friends and I do that a lot, where we'll sort of be like, I'm feeling this way and I need you to tell me that like, it's going to be fine.
You're right.
And hearing that from someone else, I think puts it into perspective, where you're suddenly like, oh, like, wait, it actually is going to be totally fine. Like, it's actually a fine. Like, you are able to sort of step outside the box that you were in.
Right.
And I really, that's what I try to do to bring myself joy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely do a lot of the same things, like, for personal self-care, mental health, like, calling people, asking for help as well when needed. You know, all those things, I don't know, throughout high school, I didn't really think they were, like, helpful or necessary. And I don't know, just to think that if she knew who she was now, like, I just call people, I tell people, I mean, talk about it on social media, like, hey, I'm not doing well today. Like, and just kind of normalizing that and, you know, reminding ourselves that we're human. We're, like you said, we're going to make mistakes. It's not, we're not going to feel 100% all the time.
Yeah.
And I think just now being in a job that can accommodate for those feelings, or, you know, definitely partly it's my mindset as well, feeling like I deserve to have the space to have hard days. And I think when you're a student, when you're in a stressful job, like any situation like that, it doesn't feel like you have the space to mess up. It doesn't feel like you have the space to like be imperfect. I don't know. And definitely in a lot of the world, it doesn't really create that space for you either. So just kind of finding ways to make that space for myself has been so key through affirmations, like you said, reminding yourself that it's okay if you mess up, it's okay if you make a mistake, this is just a learning experience. Like, you know, I'm not, unless it's horrible, but like, you're not going to get fired over one small thing. Right. You know, you were hired for a reason. You've stayed at that job for a reason. You deserve to be there. Like, all those things are so important. And I feel like, I don't know, no one really talks, like, teaches you to say those things and speak to yourself in that way. I feel like throughout school, it's all about, like, just get an A and get through and, you know, walk across the stage and graduate and you've done it. Like, that's, you know, you've achieved it. But it's like, no, there's so much more to it than that. I don't know.
So much more that you go through to get to that point.
Right, and exactly.
I, like, accepting that is so important, I think. And, like, it's something I didn't, you know, because you don't really know growing up, too. You don't know what these feelings are, and you're sort of just, like, you don't really take the time to really process it. And I think being able to do that was, like, being able to get to that point and asking for help and being, like, I need help. Like, that's so important.
Yeah.
Mental health really is so important.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
So moving on to another question, kind of more about New York City, per se.
Love.
Did I use per se right?
I think
you did. I don't know. I've never said that in my life, actually.
Have you not?
That's so weird. I don't know why I just...
I love that. New phrases.
Anyway, I might have used that wrong.
No. You used it right. You used it right. I think you used it right. Okay, moving on.
Anyway, about New York City. So it's a pretty chaotic city. Like, it's true. Can both say that.
Very true.
So what are some ways, at least this is something I've been thinking about a lot, like, what are some ways you kind of find quiet among the chaos?
Love that.
Like, I think that's been my, like, focus this year, and just really trying to, through my space, through my friendships, through my experiences, like, how can I kind of cultivate peace and quiet among, you know, the chaos of the outside, outside world.
Okay. Well, I'm from New York. I grew up here. I've had a lot of experience in growing up in a really chaotic city. It's sort of what I've known and what I enjoy is the hustle and bustle, but moments of quiet, I do think, are very important, and, like, moments for yourself are very important, but it is hard to find in a city like this. But I think finding things that, like, you are doing just for yourself that kind of isolates you from everyone else and just sort of being within yourself, I think, allows space. I don't know if what I'm saying is making any sense at all, but that's okay. We'll get
there. No, it does. I think it's like you're saying, finding things for yourself that kind of fill yourself up.
Fill yourself up. But like for example, something I like to do that brings me quiet is I don't like to read, like, in my room, because I just am like, I think I associate reading, like, with being on a beach and stuff. And obviously we can't really do that here.
Right.
So I've been trying to, like, take my book to different places with me. And I, like, so for me, sometimes I'll sit at a restaurant, like, I'll sit at a bar.
Cool.
And I'll read.
Okay.
And
I love that.
By myself, and I'll read. And I'll, like, order, like, a pasta dish, or, like, order. And I just sit and read by myself. Sometimes I have my headphones in. Sometimes I don't.
That is such, like, a power move, I feel like.
I know. It's, like, a new thing I'm doing. And I'm, like, I love it. Like, it's so empowering. Mm-hmm. This all sort of began because, when did I do this? Oh, I was meeting my brother for dinner. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to the restaurant. And then my brother was, like, I'm still with these people. Like, I'm going to be a little bit later. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, we literally had dinner plans. Like, what? And I was really hungry too. So I was like, this is so annoying. I'm literally here.
Right.
Cause I also hate being the first one to things. Mm. I hate it, but I used to, now I don't, cause it's the whole thing I've done, but I used to hate it. But I was like, okay, all right. So I just went and sat at the bar by myself, and I had my book, and I read, and I got a glass of wine, and I got some pasta, and I just sat there and read in silence to myself. And then my brother joined me eventually, but I was just very happy. I was, like, just reading a book.
Oh my God,
and taking that time for myself. And it is such a power move, but it's also, like, I don't know, there is a level of it being scary. It was scary for me at first, because I'm so used to associating, like, sitting at a bar as, like, an activity with a person, like, there's someone with you, or, like, you know, if you're watching sports TV, if you're watching the television there, like, you want to watch a game or something. It's not really my cup of tea, but lots of people do it.
Right.
And, you know, they'll discuss the game I was sort of like, where can I give myself quietness? That's, like, not, cause I've just sort of, like, the thought of, like, the parks in New York are interesting too. Like, finding a place to, like, read in the park is a really nice thing to do, but, like,
It's so hot.
It's so, like, I mean, yeah, right now, like, no, yeah, fame. It's couldn't, too hot. Couldn't be me. Or, like, sitting on your fire escape in the evening mm-hmm. is a nice thing. I think I do that. My roommate lets me use her fire escape sometimes.
Nice.
So, when she's not home. So, I'll, like, sort of sit there with, like, a glass of wine and I'll read my book. And, like, I think that there's something that just brings, like, serenity and, like, peace in moments like that. Because even, like, you know, with New York, like, if we were to, like, stick our head out the window right now, like, we wouldn't be like, wow, like, all I can hear is, like,
The birds
and the fresh air. It's like, no, there's like someone like yelling over right. there. Someone's yeah. like, throwing you know, up. Throwing like, up. Someone's yeah. like double parked, like, and yeah. is yelling. Like, Hans are, yeah. Hans? Hans are horn. What? Horns are honking.
There you go.
Thank you. Horns are honking. And yep. things are crazy. And I, you know, but I think there's something about, there's a peacefulness when you're sort of doing it. When you're by yourself and there's no one else around you yeah. and you're sort of in like an elevated experience, like there's just something about that that I really love, whether it's
yeah.
sitting at a bar by yourself, reading a book and eating dinner, or sitting on your fire escape, reading a book and drinking a glass of wine, like yeah. that brings peace.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
What do you, yeah. what have you been doing that's like given you
what
space?
Have I been doing? I haven't sat at a bar, read a book yet, but I have like heard about that in a recent podcast I listened to. And
it's so great.
Yeah. Now I've heard it twice now. So I think that's my sign.
It's your sign. You have to try it. I think you would love it too.
I think so too. I'm not a big reader either. And I think I struggle to like read before I go to bed. And like, I've just never really enjoyed like the pastime of reading.
I'm
so
the same way.
I think probably combining it with something I do like doing, like getting a fun drink and a good meal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
That's helped yeah, me a lot.
Totally. But I think I've been really working on like my apartment, honestly, as kind of my quiet space and really curating it to be a place that I feel safe in mm-hmm. and myself and comfortable. And I mean, it's really hot and muggy right now, but apart from that,
cute.
Like I don't know. I feel like I have never really put a lot of time into my living space. Like my bedroom growing up, you know, it was just my childhood bedroom.
Yeah.
But then since becoming an adult and moving out, I really haven't like spent that much time making an apartment my own. 'Cause I haven't really lived there longer than a year or like even 6 months. There was a period I was traveling like every 5-6 months, and I just never really took the time to get the furniture I wanted, get the nice blankets. I kind of used what I had and mix matched it all together. So this has kind of become my quiet space from the city.
It's great. I mean, it's a great way to,
and yeah, and just affirming myself that it does matter to like take time to curate a space.
Yes.
And you know, make it how you want. You're not being like extra or too much if no. you want to clean it a certain way, if you want to, you know, get a certain color, get a certain prints. I have some wall prints coming, so I'm excited.
Oh
yeah,
I love that. It's gonna add so much, like,
I think so, yeah. The walls are a little barren
energy to the space.
Yeah,
I love that.
But also just my friendships as well, I think, really. The saying of, you know, you can feel the most lonely like in the biggest city in the world or something,
it's
like,
so
I don't
true.
Know the exact saying, but it's so true. And I feel like I've felt that at some moments. I think since leaving Brandy, I've felt it more because like going into work at a retail store, you're surrounded by 50 people all day, all the time. So I didn't necessarily have a chance to feel lonely necessarily. But there's been some moments more recently, and I think just pouring into reconnecting with you, like an older friend we
yeah.
haven't really caught up in months, and you know, my mom coming to visit as well,
yeah.
and just kind of really pouring into the relationships that mean a lot to me, that kind of makes it feel a little smaller and
yeah.
less overwhelming. Because
it helps, for sure.
If it's just like, but I also do love like my alone time as well, you know, and that
yeah.
can make it feel more quiet and more peaceful. Like I love walking along the Hudson River Walk, like, and like especially at night too, not too late, but you know, at sunset,
and
it's
sunset.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love doing that.
That's so important, having that time. I know, I applaud everyone that moves to New York fully and is like, $3, two bags, one me.
Yep.
Which is a reference from Annie the Musical. But
I
admire it so much because it's a huge city and it can be so lonely. And
I
was so fascinated, like a lot of people from my class in college graduated and moved to New York because it's such a place
Boston
for entertainment.
To New York,
Boston
yeah.
to New York. It's close by. It's such a place for entertainment. It's like
true.
Where everything's happening. And so,
true,
so many
yeah.
people just like moved and did it. I just am so in awe of it because for me, I came back. I left and I came back.
Right.
And I love New York, and like it's very special to me in its own way because of it being my upbringing. And I think
yeah.
growing up here, I gained such a sense of independence and energy for myself and where I fit into the city at a very young age. And I still get lost all the time in it, like, literally and, like, spiritually.
Right.
It's a lot. But I admire people that just sort of come and do it and are like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to live here and I'm going to try it. And I'm, you know, what does it look like when you leave the world of being in college and being in retail and being in this container with all of these people that you see all the time and then suddenly you don't.
Right.
And what are the friendships that are worth reaching out to and worth, like, watering in the friendship garden? Like, what is, what does that look like? And so I just think it's really admirable when people just move here and are like, I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Like, cause for some people they're like, oh my God, I love it. And for some people they're like, I've done it. It's great. Right. I'm glad I did it. I'm not doing it again. Right. Like, I tried it and no, thank you.
Yeah.
And like, it's really interesting to see where that plays out with certain people, because it has a different, New York has a different heartbeat for everyone.
Yeah. And that's such an interesting perspective of you, like, looking at it as someone who's, like, lived here. Like, you've been here since you were born here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I'm curious to know, like, how was your childhood, like, growing up here? Like, would you raise your kids here? Would you, you know, would you do it again? Would you do it differently? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I loved growing up here. I loved growing. But also, like, I was in such a, you know, I was a kid. So I was so, you know, we didn't have, like, it's so interesting because we didn't have, you know, we didn't have football games and we didn't have, you know, cheerleading or, you know, homecoming. Like, there was none of that.
Yeah.
I think being able to get up and go to school and walk to school in New York by myself and then walk home by myself, like, or with friends, but I was independent. I didn't have my, my parents were walking me to, at a young age, but when I reached the age of being, like, a teenager, I was doing that, and I would go to parties with my friends, and I would go do, and I would do all of these fun things. I would go to restaurants in the city. Like, there was so much exposure of the city, and I, as a kid, I just really loved it. I totally like soaked it all up. I was obsessed with it. Like, when I left for college, it was hard for me at first because I was so used to having a in the big, one of the biggest cities in the world, having such a small community. Like, I loved it. And I went to arts high school and I loved it. I loved the friends I made there and the environment I was in every day getting up and going to school. I'm so grateful for that experience. And it, I think it taught me a lot about what it means to really, like, in the one of the biggest cities in the world, how to find comfort in being alone in the city, because you are alone a lot of the time, and it can be very scary when there's something so big, and everywhere you go there's going to be people. And I think there's something really magical about that, though, where it's sort of like, it is a city that no matter what hours of the day or night, like,
never sleeps.
Sleeps. There are always people. I was obsessed as a kid, like, looking out my window at night and seeing, like, different lights on and people's bill. I loved that. It was like, I was obsessed with it because I was like, it could be any time of day and someone is awake.
Right.
Someone. And I just, I thought that was amazing. And
that's
really
cool.
So yeah, it taught me a lot. And I think moving back here has been really interesting for me because I grew up, you know, with parents that, and I was very fortunate. I loved where I lived, and I had a great upbringing, and now I'm sort of living here and not having, like, my parents' stability and being here, like, by myself. I'm like, this is not what it was like growing up. This is scary.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's taught me, and I'm very grateful, too, that I have so many friends here that I grew up here with that live here still, too.
Mm.
And so we're all sort of experiencing that together of not having the stability of living with your parents and coming home and having dinner ready and having, you know,
you gotta do that yourself now.
Or like being like, I'm gonna have a snack. Like, what's in the pantry that I didn't pay for any of it? Like, you know, and now being like, oh, the pantry's empty. I'm the person that has to solve that. Like, not my parents.
It's
like,
so real.
It's so real. It's so annoying, but it's part of being an adult. And I think that's the thing that gives me the most anxiety on the day-to-day is being like, wow, like, I am fully an adult. Like, I am an adult, and I live here, and I am an adult.
Right.
But also just, like, finding the friends around you and, like, getting through the week and finding something during the week to be excited about.
Yes.
It's, like, what I try to practice, because if I don't have that, then I'm sort of like, what am I doing?
No,
like,
that's so key. And I think also with a city where there's so many things going on, like, you know, there's so many people, but there's also so many events, and there's, you know, so many restaurants you could go to. Like, the possibilities are endless of, like, what to do.
Yes.
And I think I've had, like, decision paralysis so many times of, like, okay, I want to leave my apartment, but what do I do?
Right.
Like, I, you know, so, like, in my hometown, like, in Marblehead, Mass, it's like, okay, there's, like, a couple good restaurants you could go to if you want to go to dinner. There's like one main park you could go to. There's like one ice cream spot you could go to, you know, like those are your decisions made. Where in New York, it's like, I don't know. I'm also just a Libra and I'm indecisive. So I face that.
But I love that.
Definitely, you know, building what you just said on finding something to look forward to every week and finding the things that like fill you up and make you feel good. Like everyone in the city is doing something different and they're all doing so many things, but you know, you kind of have to put on blinders, I found, and just like focus on like
what you need to
do. This makes me feel good. Doing this activity in the city with these people make me feel good. I'm gonna see so many people do different things, but I just have to focus on me, you know. That's most important. I don't know, but it's harder than I thought it would be.
It's so hard.
I didn't realize it'd be so difficult, especially just even in New York or even in any city or even just growing up, like in the world of like social media now, like you see what, and LinkedIn too. Like you see what everyone's working, you see what everyone's doing.
And you're
you
like,
see everyone,
oh my gosh,
with all these friends and they're getting certain jobs. And I think it's a human reaction to just like compare where you're at in your life versus others. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like cutting all that out is the best way to move forward.
I agree. And like accepting that, like, you know, you're like, today was really hard and I did this for myself and it made me happy, but like, I'm still having a hard time. Like, I think the way that you've created that on your platform is really wonderful because so, of course, because so many, I feel like my friends and I talk about this all the time. We will be like, well, this person looks like they're doing amazing. Like they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this. And then, you know, I'll be like, I know that person personally, and they're not doing amazing. They're having a really hard time. Yeah. And it's like, social media is such a, you can make it be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And totally. I think that I appreciate that even on days when you'll post and you'll be like, I went to this place and it was really cool. You'll also be like, this was a hard thing for me. And while this was great, like, I'm struggling with this right now too. And like, it's just, it lets people in to being like, oh, wow, like, she's doing a really cool thing. But like, you know, she has the same doubts and anxieties and fears that so many people do. Yeah. And I think that being able to project that and talk about that is so important.
It's interesting that you say that. And like, I'm trying to still maintain that, but also find a bit more of a balance for myself regarding my content and just kind of realizing like, I don't have to share everything. I don't have to show up every day. I don't, you know, like at the end of the day, like we're individual humans living our own lives and that has to be number one. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, I've lost sight of that a little bit throughout just being very active on social media. Like, I kind of would lose myself in the sharing part rather than the actual living part. So
yeah, that's really well said. Yeah, though. don't stop making your like cooking videos though, because I love those.
Really? Oh god, I haven't made one in so long.
I literally know I'm mad at you about it. No, I'm kidding. I'm not mad.
I'm slacking on the cooking side.
I love when you make those videos. Okay. Oh my gosh, yes. I love cooking videos in general. Like I love watching people cook.
I make the simplest things though. Like, I feel like they're just not even worth sharing.
No, that's why it's so good. Because really? I feel like because I feel like with me, like I go to the grocery store and I like buy a ton of things and I'm like, I'm gonna make this and this, and then it comes to the morning and I'm like, what can I make that's simple and that I can eat quickly and then I can go.
That's
and
me.
Like and you do that and okay. I literally love it. Like please don't stop.
Stay tuned, maybe some more cooking videos to come.
Shout out to me for making that happen, guys. I'm bringing it back.
I just feel like I eat the same like five meals on rotation, so I don't know.
I don't feel like that's true. I feel like you shake it up
a little bit.
You like will put like really random things in your dishes too, and I'm like, this is so interesting. Like,
all right, well,
you do.
Glad I'm you find it think. Interesting.
You put something so random the other day, and I was like, that's so random. I love that she did that. It was like something so obscure. It was probably like a plant-based thing. I'm not like a
probably,
plant person.
Okay.
I mean, I like plants, but right. I'm not vegan.
Person. Yeah.
I'm not vegan.
No, I'm not either. But I still enjoy that. But I'm definitely trying to work on my timidness around like cooking meat. Like I'd never really have, like what you're saying before, like my mom would just cook it and then it would be on the table. And I hate the feeling, and you know,
the
with
feeling
of meat of meat
of touching meat.
Yeah. I don't know, I just hate it. So and then with my like struggles with my relationship with food, and you know, I went vegan very strictly, and I kind of just like trained my brain to like view it in a certain way, but now I'm retraining it to view it as openly. So I'm fine to order it like out, but like I just can't cook it.
You can't cook it. I know if it helps. It helps in any way. The only thing, the only like animal thing I can cook for myself is like fish. Like I can't make, okay. I can't,
maybe I'll start with that. And then
I'm terrified of making chicken.
Really?
I'm so scared of making chicken.
I'll probably just like burn it black. So it's cooked.
That's like, I'm like, I'm going to get salmonella. Like I can't, I'm so scared. But fish is really easy.
Okay.
Fish
okay.
is so-
I've done salmon before because you don't really have to touch it.
You just put it on the pan,
out of the thing onto the pan and put it in the oven, right?
Yeah. And you can season it and it's delicious.
Okay.
Pro cooking hack. This has now become a cooking podcast. Part one and part two.
Part two is more on cooking.
If you put salmon in the oven, 375 degrees.
Okay.
Season it with olive oil, salt, pepper, and honey.
Oh.
Put it in the oven for like 25 minutes. Take it out. It's fantastic.
Really?
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Literally, it's my like go-to. It's my favorite thing to make.
Okay. Next time I make it, I'll shout you out.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Love. That makes me happy. Yeah, no, it's so, I love making fish.
Okay.
Because you just put it in the oven.
Yeah.
The texture scares me too.
Yeah. I just like don't want to handle it.
No, me neither. Like it. I eat chicken, but I will not cook it.
Okay.
I can't.
Okay, so I'm not like that crazy for not cooking it.
No,
like,
I'm so scared to make chicken.
All love right, that. Well, we'll see. Maybe some more cooking. But also, I'm just taking the pressure off, you know, just like posting up feels good. If
you do,
I'm doing my podcast, that feels good.
Yeah,
so,
and you like making your podcast. And I think that's really important. And like, I'm so happy to be here doing it with you.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all the questions I had.
I think that's all the talking we have in us.
Yeah. Who knows? Actually, no, I think we could do a part two.
No, we could totally do a part two. But thank you for having me on here. I'm so grateful.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
Where can people find you? Do you want people to find you on social media or no?
No, yeah, you can find me. You can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is my name, grace.ferrera, F as in Frank, E-R-R-E-R-A. That's me.
And you can find me at jenny.mini on Instagram. There's the podcast Instagram, perfectlyimperfect.pod, and my YouTube channel, too. I have a TikTok. I don't really use it.
You do good. I'm on TikTok, too, but, like, not actually. My TikToks aren't interesting, but they're fun if you wanted to watch. Cool. Sometimes I cook. I don't know. Aww. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Thanks again, Grace.
Thank you. Right. You're the best.
We'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye.